Welcome to another great hour of Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. This is Mary Ellen Angelscribe and Maureen McCullough, co-hosting for Atira. Today is Atira's birthday, and our hosting her show for her is our gift. Atira's program is dedicated to teaching about the unseen world of spirit and angels and how they interplay in our lives. I am the best-selling author of Expect Miracles and A Christmas Filled with Miracles. During the show time, check out my website, Angelscribe, A-N-G-E-L-S-C-R-I-B-E, that scribe isn't to write, angelscribe.com, for your free inspirational newsletter. I've been sharing angel and miracle stories on the Internet for 10.5 years. It's my volunteer act of kindness to the world, and the readership rate to the newsletter is often over 100%. I live in Oregon, and today I'm co-hosting with my dear friend and earth angel, Maureen McCullough, in Texas. The first half hour of our show is our interesting interview with Maureen, who is a DJ in Houston, Texas, at KKRW 93.7. And I'd like to say that she's taking an hour off from her show to honor us today. We will be teaching how spirit and the angels work in our lives. Many listeners are longtime readers today, and they're from my Angel Scribe newsletter and are unaware that Maureen and I have never met. Maureen was the host of Angel Waves radio show in Cincinnati, and after interviewing me one day for my first book, Expect Miracles, out of the blue, she just asked me to co-host her show. Now, I have no broadcasting experience, but I'd once made a prayer to God that if he brought me opportunities, I'd have to put my fear aside and step up and do it. And I just like to say, today's another one of those days I'm showing up
yes.
for. Now, that was 7 years ago that we met, wasn't it, Maureen?
Yes, it was. And it was a whole series of miracles that brought us together mm-hmm. to this day even. So
that's
I guess
right.
it's kind of...
And we hope to meet next month at the International New Age Trade Show for the very first time in Denver.
Right.
Yeah, and the INATS trade show is a metaphysical trade show with books and jewelry and cards and posters and CDs. It is fabulous. And for those who are curious about it, they pronounce it INATS, I-N-A-T-S. And you go to their website, inats.com. Now, neither Maureen or I are psychic or a medium. We are rare women, but we are not mediums. So please hold any personal psychic questions until Atira returns next week. She called in previous to the show, and she wishes everybody good luck and says hello to you all. The second part of our show is reserved for listeners to call in with their questions. Tonight we will be discussing how to be a miracle magnet and also how to hear the angels telepathically and the magic that doing so brings in your lives. Welcome, Maureen.
Well, thank you, Mary Ellen. This is neat to be here and talking about our own miracles tonight. We usually talk about others, so let others talk about theirs, but I think it'll be fun to hear about your miracles. And of course, my story is a little different, but it's miracles nonetheless. It's a series of synchronistic events.
One of the things that was interesting is your miracle is basically along the same lines of mine, of how I got involved in the angel work. And
mm-hmm.
it's how you connected with Nick Bunick and your radio show Angel Waves, right?
Yes, and that was the catalyst for the whole thing of Angel Waves. My story basically, starts as a child. I was raised Catholic. A lot of people out there, the same thing. We were raised Catholic. We were told never to question anything that they told us. We had to believe everything they told us or it would be a mortal sin. We would go straight to hell. And my Protestant friends next door that I grew up with playing with, my best friends, it was so sad. I thought, oh, my God, they're going to hell. They're never going to heaven because only Catholics go to heaven.
Oh, my gosh. I used to think of the same thing, but I never went to church, and I thought I was the one going to hell. And I thought, if God's all loving, that didn't make sense.
No, and I knew that. I knew it wasn't right. I knew something wasn't right, but there was nowhere to look, no one to ask because we weren't allowed to question, but it just didn't feel right. Something wasn't right. And, of course, living in a small neighborhood, and that's all I knew was going to my Catholic school and going to church, and I never really went anywhere or had access to anything, as most people didn't back then. And so I knew something was different my whole life, and I grew up. In my first marriage, I married another Catholic, and our two kids, we raised them Catholic, had them baptized, or they were going to go to hell. Then, after I got divorced, and 10 years later, I met a really nice guy, we decided to get married, and then I discovered he was Jewish, and I'm like, oh, Jewish, well, that's interesting. I don't know anything about, except that you know, there was this big rift between the Catholics and the Jews, and oh my God, you know, like they hate each other. I didn't know, I really know anything about it. So I decided when I was pregnant with our first child, I got to find something out about this. So I went to the library. I thought, there's got to be books on it. Maybe somebody's written about where did this all start? Who invented, who created this rift? Who created these religions and created this rift? And who was first and who's right and who's wrong? And you know, just the whole religion thing. But I couldn't really find any unbiased information at the library. One would be written by a rabbi, you know, and had a Jewish point of view, or a priest. So there really wasn't any information. And it wasn't until after I had two children, and I did have them both baptized because I still didn't know for sure. And I thought, oh, my God, if I don't have them baptized, what's going
to
happen?
Well, nobody wants a baby to go straight to hell.
No. And so this is what we were taught. So one day, and I had been in radio, you know, most of my life. So I was a radio and television person. So I was in the media. And one day I'm reading the newspaper, and this picture caught my eye. I don't know why. And I looked down, and it was a picture of this man, and it said he was going to be at like a Barnes & Noble book signing in Cincinnati. And the thing under the man said, this was Nick Bunick, and he was Paul, and he lived when Jesus lived, and he was like St. Paul. And he was, you know, reincarnated in this lifetime. And I'm like, that's really interesting. Oh, my God.
This is from the book The Messenger, is written by G.W. Hardin and co-authored with Julia Ingram.
Right.
And Julia did the past life regression on Nick, that where he came up to be Paul. So what? So you thought, well, this man will have some of the answers, right?
Right. I just thought, I just was drawn to it. I thought, I have to go to that. I just have to go. Here's a man who people have told him. He didn't just make it up. They told him, you were St. Paul. And I thought, oh, my God, I have to go. Well, I couldn't go because I had to work, because I was always working. So I couldn't go. But the miracle of the Internet had just come along not too much earlier than that. And so I would go online, and I would just do searches, like for, you know, I would start with the word angel or whatever, and somehow online I found out about the Whole Life Expo, and I found out that Nick Bunick was going to be there, and he was going to be in Cleveland. I thought, I have to go. And I made plans to take my mom, and we drove up on a Friday, and the next day I said, I'm going to see Nick. I don't know how, but I'm going to see him somehow. I didn't know what time, because I didn't know how to access that information. I didn't know how to do that then, but I knew he was going to be there. So we get all the way up there, and I get up there on Saturday, and we go into the whole expo, and I'm asking everybody, you know, where's Nick Bunick? I find out he's not going to be talking till later that evening. I'm like, oh, my God, we have to leave in the afternoon because it's my husband's, like, 30th reunion, and we can't stay. And I was so disappointed, and I'm asking everyone, the wisdom people who were, you know, running the expo, does anybody know where he is? Have they seen him? No, we haven't seen him. It's not till later. And I was so upset. I was so disappointed because I just knew I had to see him. Well, I didn't find him, but before we left, I went down to the bookstore, and I was just kind of walking around, and I had this habit of, like, just kind of, see if I was drawn to any particular book or anything, because I didn't know what I wanted. And I was drawn to these books and tapes in the middle of the bookstore in the expo, and I went up and I looked down, and they were by somebody named Doreen Virtue. And I thought, oh, that looks interesting. It's about angels. It's a meditation tape. So I bought that tape. Mom and I got ready to go. We got our bags. We go to the elevator. We're waiting. I forget what floor we are. It's probably the fourth floor, but I'm not sure. We're waiting for the elevator, and I'm so disappointed that we have to leave, and the elevator doors open, and there's Nick Bunick.
Wow.
I recognize him. I went, oh, Nick, oh, my God, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm like this crazy teen, you know, like screaming, oh, my God, Nick, and he's looking at me. I'm like, oh, my God, I came here to see you, and I have to go, and I was just babbling, and he was so nice, and he said, oh, and I told him my name. He says, Maureen, oh, give me a hug, give me some of that energy. So Mom and I got on the elevator, put our bags on, got in, and we're going down. He says, oh, Maureen, he says, by the way, there was a lady there with him. He said, oh, I'd like you to meet Doreen Virtue.
Oh, my gosh.
And I went,
a date with destiny.
Yes. I said, Doreen, oh, my God, I just brought your tape. So I'm babbling like an idiot. He was so sweet. And I had to go, and he said, well, he's going to be in Chicago, like, in a couple weeks or something. I said, well, I can drive to Chicago. I said, well, I'll try to get to Chicago. Well, I did get to Chicago. I did connect with Nick, and we got to sit and talk, and it was just incredible. And since I was in radio, and I had all of a sudden become privy to this information, and people that have read the book will know, but people that haven't, in the book, the things that Nick talks about, it's like he's bringing to light the things, the made-up things, the untrue things that the church and you know, that they've jammed down our throats for our whole lifetime, for centuries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some of the things like original sin, we weren't born with original sin. They made it up, like in the 4th century, to keep people from leaving the Catholic Church and going to other churches.
The word was innocence. You know, when people had sinned, the word was innocence. When you have sinned, it's like when you're holding a bow and arrow, Nick said, and you miss. What do? You try again. You don't take a one-way ticket to hell. You try again, and that's
right.
An archery term. And so when somebody has sinned in their life, you know, that's why, you have a second chance. That's more godly-like than setting them out of the classroom and standing in the hallway.
Right, and like for the first time, things made sense. And it made sense like, oh, my God, how many religions are there in the world, Mary Ellen? Like, thousands and thousands. Mm-hmm. And to think that the small, minute group of Catholics, when you compare it to the world's religions, only those few people are going to heaven because they're the only ones that are going to be saved. I'm like, it's like that's just so ridiculous when you really think of it that way.
Well, I always wondered where Jesus went.
Yeah.
If you think about it, because the religion didn't happen for centuries after, did it?
That's right. Yeah. And one of the things in Nick's book, there's a bunch of things, but one of the things was about hell. Well, hell isn't a real place. What hell is, if there was a garbage dump outside of Jerusalem that burned continuously, that's where they took their garbage, and it was called Gehenna. Well, Gehenna translates to hell. And people back in those days, when they would kid around with somebody they were upset with, they'd say, I hope you go to Gehenna and, whatever, and burn forever, and that's where that came from. That's where it came from. And also the thing that really struck me was the thing about priests having to be celibate and never married. And then when I read and found out, that was because they used to be married, and there used to be men and women involved. But what happened was when the church started amassing wealth, if the man died, the woman, the wife of the priest, she'd get all the money. Well, they don't want that.
So they pulled it back. And also, too, they wanted to leave the woman at home because they found out a lot of the ladies traveling with the men in the ministry, some of them were having affairs, and they just thought it was easier just to curtail that.
So all those things Nick and I talked about, and I said, you know what? People need to know this, Nick. People need to at least have access to the information because, just like I, you can't be living with this veil over your eyes. You can't be living with these untruths. People at least need a chance to have access to the truth. That's all. It's just sharing your own truth. And he said, well, how would you do that, Maureen? I said, well, the best way would be to have a radio show where you could reach as many people as possible at one time and just have people come on like you yourself, Nick, and tell their truth, share their story. That's all you're doing. You're not telling anybody what to believe. You're not doing anything. You're just sharing what you have discovered. And that's how the idea for Angel Ways was born. And I always said, it was the angel show. They produced it. They brought the guests like you, Mary Ellen, to the show, all in synchronistic, miraculous ways.
Well,
and that's how it was born.
By one of your participants on your show, because you didn't know me. But I have to tell you the most amazing thing, too, is Doreen Virtue, that Chicago show that you went to, what happened is after we met each other, we found out that both you and I were doing volunteer acts and for Wisdom Radio. I was reading their miracle truth stories. You were doing their commercials. One day I heard it, and I heard your voice. I'm like, oh, my gosh, out of all the people in the world who are helping out, look how we got connected.
Yes.
And then what happened is Doreen Virtue was at that Chicago show, and Jill Lawrence of Wisdom Radio was doing her very first show, and she was going to do it down at the National Broadcasting Association convention in Seattle, down on the floor. There was Dr. Laura there and all the big wigs. And so two of her her guests for Thursday and Friday had to cancel. So she said to Doreen Virtue, whoever could I have on such short notice? Because this was Tuesday, and she needed them for Thursday, Friday. Doreen says, I have the perfect people. And she recommended both Atira and myself.
Oh, wow.
And what's funny, because I know you don't know this, is we were housewives at the time. And, I was just, the internet had just come into my house too, and I just started doing my free Angels and Miracles newsletter, and that's how I got connected with Wisdom, and Doreen believed in us from the very first time she met us, but this is what happened with Nick Bunick. I got that book, The Messengers, and I read it, and I thought, it's full of 444, means you're connected to God experiences, and I thought, well, if I keep seeing 111 wherever I go, and I thought, well, if I'm so angelically oriented and doing channeled angel writings, why aren't I seeing 444? Well, I read the book until 1:15 in the morning, and for the first time in my life, I woke up at 4:44 that morning, I was so excited. I wanted to get a camera, but I stayed there in that sacred moment looking at the digital clock frozen, you know, till it turned over. And then I got up and went down on the computer, and I sent them an email because now I knew I was connected. And my daughter got up in the morning, and she asked me to drive her to school, and I said, I'm so sorry. I'm exhausted. I've been up since this morning, you know. And her bedroom was down the hallway from mine, and our clocks are never synchronized, and she, too, woke up at 4:44.
Wow.
And the very next day, to prove it, because I'm a cat lover, one of my cats threw up the next morning at 4:44.
No.
Two mornings in a row. But then for Nick Bunit, because I hadn't met him, and I thought, like in radio, you go into the station. I didn't know it was possible for, like, you in Texas and me in Oregon. But there was a horrific snowstorm, and all the power went out in the Seattle, Tacoma, Gig Harbor, Bremerton area. So all of us were listening to our battery-operated radios. We couldn't get on the computer. And that day, Nick Bunit came on, and he spoke. And literally, the city stopped.
Well,
and he was on radio.
He was just on regular radio talking?
He was in Portland.
And
he called into the Seattle station on Como, and he was talking about his book, The Messengers. Well, I never would have heard it unless all the power had been out and the internet was off and the TV was off. Excuse me, it was Christmas time. My daughter had been given new videos and that. And so it was like that's how he was introduced. And his book went to, they sold 30,000 copies in the Seattle area in that month alone.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
And so that's how your radio show came about. But look at how we're parallel connected. It's amazing.
I know, and the fact that I did your commercial on the Wisdom Network without even knowing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so, and I was thinking too, Marilyn, like it's what kind of what the Celestine Prophecy is about, and a lot of people have read that book, and the movie is out now finally, but about synchronicity and listening, because I know a lot of, I mean, the angels and God and your guides, whoever, they're always trying to guide us. All the time, but we're not always listening. And so, if you can get in that flow of listening, it's like just wonderful synchronistic things happen, and you're led exactly where you're supposed to.
And it doesn't have to be startling. Go ahead with your
example. No, it can be subtle. Because one thing that just happened to me the other day, because I try to do this, and even people that try to do it, you know, you just don't always do it. I mean, it's not that easy. But simple things like around the house. I had just cut the grass, and I was taking the lawnmower around to the garage, and I was locking the fence behind me to the backyard. Well, I tried to lock it, and I'm holding the lawnmower in one hand, and I got the key, and I'm trying to juggle the thing, and the key wouldn't go in the lock, and it fell out. And usually it would be real simple. But instead of like, and usually when this happens, I will stop and say, no, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to lock the gate right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't. I kept fighting it, and it falls on the ground, and I pick it up, and I finally got that lock locked, and I was like, and I wasn't paying attention. I get all the way back to the garage with the lawnmower, and all of a sudden it hits me, oh, my God. I was standing right back to the garbage can, and I forgot to empty the bag.
Oh,
and that's what the universe is trying to help me to, you know, to see.
When you try to do it your own way, it's twice as much work. I like what Atira says when she doesn't listen to her master guide, Dom. She does dead ends and ditches. I was with Atira once. It was one of the very first times I ever met her, and we were going to go see Deepak Chopra, and we were going to the University of Washington, and they had this new underground parking she had never been in, and I'd never been in. I just moved to the area, and she's like, what was it, Jimmy Stewart with Harvey the Bunny. She keeps nodding her head to this invisible voice that only she can hear, and he says, turn right, turn left, go up the ramp, turn right, go around the corner. Okay, you can park anywhere you want. And so she pulls over like, well, I guess this is okay. We can park here. And I'm going, okay, this is exciting but a bit nuts. And I look over, and right there it said whatever the hall was, Foster Hall or something, where Deepak was going to be speaking that evening, was right there. And in this maze of underground parking, right to that spot.
Yeah. That's so cool when that happens. And not everybody, you know, is going to have angels speaking in their head, but everybody can have it if they just listen to that inner knowing is what it is with most people, you know, just that inner knowing.
Now, have you always had that inner knowing?
I think so. I was thinking about that. I think I have. I always thought when I was a child, and I didn't know that everybody else didn't have it. But I always thought, well, I'm going to be like an FBI agent when I grow up because I just know. You know, it's like it's like I'm one step ahead of everything.
Well, you know, you'd be great at the border, too. You'd know who was smuggling and who wasn't.
Yeah, but I didn't know that everybody wasn't like that. And I would sometimes get irritated, like, you know, like if I'm driving with someone and they're driving and they don't see that or they're, I'm like, didn't you see? You know, I mean, it's like because you just kind of have this knowing, like just a slight bit ahead of time. Kind of a knowing, but I didn't know everybody didn't have that. And then I also just recently realized that as a child, I used to have this, when I would lay down to go to sleep, I would have this strange, awful kind of, I thought it was awful, like almost like crawling out of my skin kind of feeling to where I thought I would never get back in my body. Well, I guess I was having out-of-body experiences, but I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like things now that we know that the information is out there, we can look at it and see, oh, that makes sense, and now I understand.
Well, it's been wonderful with the Indigo Children, all the books that are available. I mean, when you were a teenager, they weren't available. Now you've got a great big metaphysical section in any store.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Just a miracle of the Internet. Now, Mary Ellen, you've got to tell your story about the tea-stained angel about how you got into doing your miracle newsletter.
Yeah, what happened was... I always knew that I get famous in quotes, whatever that was. But I didn't know how it would be or what it was on. And ever since I was in grade 3, I knew that. And the other thing that I knew was it didn't matter. Whatever happened in my life always worked out well. And I didn't know how. It didn't matter which decision, if it was to turn right or turn left, it always worked out well wherever I was at. And I didn't know how that happened. But now I understand it was the angels guiding me all along. Like, for example, when my mother had tuberculosis and had to be in a sanitarium for a year and a half. I was 3 years old. And so they parceled me out early to my foster parents, ahead of my brother and sister. But they were so loving and so caring, and my mother was exhausted with 3 children, and she couldn't supervise us. But, you know, my foster parents, they give me a little womp on the bottom every time I did something. And so they taught me accountability. Now, my brother and sister went to a foster home that abused them.
Wow.
So very early, I was protected from certain things that happened. I mean, my gosh, even when I had a cancer, I survived, and I didn't do chemo and radiation. I just did alternative therapy. So what happened was I've been sharing the Angels and Miracles newsletters on the computer. My mother gave us a computer for Christmas for my daughter who was going to go to college, and I got out on there because I was bored, and I found chat rooms, and they were angel chat rooms. And they were boring, too. People would get on there and talk about body functions. And I'm going, why aren't they talking about angel things? I didn't understand it. And I don't hear a voice outside my head like a tear does. But inside, it's like my heart center. I would hear things telepathically. You would feel them almost more than words. And I would, you know, would write them down. And as I wrote them down, I ended up with this collection of 900 beautiful angelic messages. And so when I'm on the computer and people were really boring, I decided I'm going to change the energy of the room. I'm going to pick it up because there's 23 people in the room and there's only 2 idiots talking. Well, where are the angel people? I was going to bring them out of the woodwork, and I would start to type. And here's an example of something that I wrote. And all the stars in the heavens sparkled and shined. It was as if it had rained for 100 years and the night skies of clouds had hidden the wonderment and magic of the stars. And now, here they were for all to see in their magnificent best. It was as if God had opened his arms and we saw into his heart as we gazed into the vastness of his love and the stars overhead. And our heart is closed, overcast, with its shadows of worry and fear. It is as if our sparkling wonder is hidden from the world. And in a moment of truth, of revelation, we suddenly see ourselves enveloped in darkness. And we see this does not serve anyone, not us, not anyone. And at this moment, if we open and reveal our soul splendor, it is as if it had rained for 100 days and the clouds cleared. Shine bright, you are a soul star in the lives of others. Let them look up to see you and marvel at your brilliance in the place and place in the universe. And so as I would type those in, people would respond and ask on my mailing list. Well, I didn't have a mailing list. And, oh, my gosh, within a month I had 1,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think a year and a half later, after I'd been sending newsletters as my volunteer act of kindness to the world, mm-hmm. somebody in Hawaii forwarded my newsletter to Canary Press in Berkeley, California, and they had been reading the newsletter for 5 months when I said in the newsletter that I had something like 2,000 stories. I have way more than that now. And they wrote and said they would love to publish them. And that's how my first book came about. And so what I'm hoping for my next wish list is and dream, I'd love to have a newspaper column of Miracle Truth Stories because my newsletters are read pretty much over 100%. I know the track record for thousands of people. People want this kind of thing. So if anybody is connected to a newspaper or a magazine, I'm their next best find to bring them readers.
Yes, you are. Well, what about all your beautiful angelic writings like the one you just read? I mean, those are just so incredible, and you have like hundreds of those, don't you?
Yeah, I've got over 900.
Oh, my gosh. And how do these come? I mean, explain to the people, like, you just all of a sudden you hear or you get this whole thought at once, or how does it come?
What happens is I have no idea what's going to be said. I'm given three words at a time. I get up in the morning and I'll put on the music, The Fairy Ring. It's by Mike Rowland, and it resonates in my heart, and it seems to get it to vibrate at a level where you can channel. And I never wanted to channel like Atira did. I felt such a responsibility that way. But I knew that I've written my whole life. And so I knew by writing, when I read that last poem, Sparkle and Shine, everybody listening heard it a different way. So I knew that I could reach and teach with the words. And so I'd pick up the pen, and when the music came on, in my heart center, I'd feel three words. And the first words I ever heard were, welcome to the light. And I thought, well, that's bothersome. I'll write that down and see what else happens.
mm-hmm.
And then it was like, where we are all gathered. And I went, oh, my gosh. You know, the angels had come in. And I went, I've been doing this my whole life. I just didn't know. I didn't recognize it. And Sanaa Roman's book, Opening to Channel, is one that I read that helped me recognize what was going on.
Oh, and that was, it's with Sanaa and... I was going to let people know how they can get to that website. That is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it is?
I would type in on Google, Opening to Channel.
Okay, yeah, that would be a good one because there you can go and it doesn't cost anything, but you can get like a daily affirmation or that's a good place
that's
to go.
Great.
Okay.
I really honor work. And the other thing that happened is when I was diagnosed with cancer, Atira said, I'm coming down to Oregon to be with you. And so she was packing up, and I was in Washington, and we were mostly moved down here, but I had a lot of things there. So she was going to come pick me up, and we were going to drive down. I was going to have surgery the next day. It was a pretty scary event. Mm-hmm. And I sent out a newsletter to let everybody know what was going on. And I have this writing called Rainbows of Millions of Hearts, and I sent this out to everybody to pray for me, and I want to read it because I know it will touch some hearts. Welcome to the light. We are ready to send the love of the universe down to those who wish to learn how to use its magic power. The strength of love is in its vibrational form. Those with the second sight can see the energy of it moving. It may move from one person to another, whether they are in the same room, same town, same country, or passed into another dimension. Love is the rainbow of light and joy that connects those who use it. Love may radiate out in such a large arc that it encompasses entire families or communities. Love is not a stingy commodity. It is free to travel wherever and whenever it is sent. To send love, hold the person, people, animal, or situation you wish to transmit to in your heart center, the area in the center of your chest. I like what they say in CPR, between your nipples that you were given at birth.
Yeah.
Literally, that's the area. Hold them in there for several seconds to a minute, all the while feel the love building. This will send love to them. Or you may wish to visualize the rainbow carrying your love over and out to them so they become the wonderful treasure at the end of the rainbow, engulfed in your gentle vibrations of love. While lying in bed at night prior to sleep, you may wish to try this technique of love. Visualize your friend's home. Fill the air above it with millions of beautiful pink hearts. Then watch as the hearts descend down into the house, filling it to the top, knowing that your friends are now surrounded by love. You peacefully drift off to sleep in a calm and elevated manner of tranquility, for one cannot send love without feeling love. One becomes what one sends out. Remember, one becomes what one sends out. So it is a wise choice to send unconditional love No strings attached, love, to friend and soul alike. And Maureen, I sent this out, and that night a tear moved the twin bed into where my bed was, because we knew we'd be talking all night long. And she would go, what is that? What is that? What is that? And I'm in this dark terror of the diagnosis, and I wish she'd be quiet. She keeps going, what is that? What is that? And finally, it pulled me up from the dark well of depression. I said, what? And she said, there's these little pink things, and they're flying all in your room. They're like 4th of July sparkles. And then they turn into little hearts. And she says, and now they're moving down the hallway, and they're filling up the room where your husband is and where your daughter is. And now they're going into the room. She has no idea. So,
wow. Listeners,
prayers are real. Your energy of love is received, and it's seen by people who have the gift like Atira.
And it reminded me when you were talking about the hearts. A tear does that. Like when she goes even just around or near a hospital, doesn't she send the pink hearts?
Yes. But she does it every night. She prays for the hospitals and the doctors close to her that they have steady hands, that they have wise decisions, because she said, you know, everybody has a hospital near them and they can make that their project.
Right.
Whenever there's an ambulance, she immediately goes into prayer. And now that I'm a volunteer firefighter and I've got a pager and I can hear the calls, I don't go to the medical calls, but it gives me an extra job to do now.
Mm-hmm.
I take the photos for the fires. And when I'm there, I give a little coin that's an angel coin in a little colored bag to the people. And this last fire was at the 73-year-old man's home burned down to literally ash. And I said, do you believe in angels or miracles? And he said, nope, but my wife does. And his wife was in California. She'd missed the fire, luckily enough. And their pets had all gotten out safely.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I do an Angels and Miracles newsletter online. And could you please give this to your wife? And he looked at the coin and he grabbed it. He says, nope, I'm keeping that right with me, right here in the car.
Oh.
Because he had gotten out alive with his medicine. His neighbors had taken out his favorite chair and his walker. And his vehicle was safe. He had his wallet. He had more than a lot of people did in a house fire. And if it happened 6 hours later, he also would not have made it out. So there were so many miracles attached to his fire.
Mm-hmm.
If you can have a good fire, this gentleman had just had one. And he's going to get his house rebuilt. That's the good news.
Oh, yeah. So the angels have you out documenting miracles now with your camera.
It's so fun because ever since I've started doing this, nobody's died. Nobody's been injured.
Good.
Like,
call Mary Ellen. Get her over here. That's what they're doing. Now, I think we're like at the halfway point, Mary Ellen.
Love to have the commercials if Dawn could play those. Welcome back to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. Today, this is Mary Ellen, Angel Scribe, and I have Maureen McCullough with me from Houston, Texas, and we're filling in for Atira. Today is her birthday, so send her birthday wishes.
Happy birthday, Atira!
And also, we're open for callers if you'd like to call us here. You can call in worldwide. One lady from the Middle East didn't think she could, but if you're listening, the number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And Maureen and I would love to hear from you. And I also would like to mention for booking readings with Atira, if you'd like to have an amazing blow-your-socks-off reading with Atira, write to me. I book her appointments at angelreadings@angelscribe.com. The cost is $100 for 45 minutes, and Atira will mail you an audio tape of your experience with her, with all the details from your reading. And I've seen Atira actually work miracles, Maureen. Her readings, her readings change lives. I often refer to her, to her great embarrassment, as a soul healer. But I've seen people put down years of guilt and shame and move happily into their future after one of her readings.
Mm-hmm.
And the insight she gives into their current life is helpful, and it offers clarity for them to see new ways and how to improve it. And not only does she communicate with passed-over loved ones, her angel Dom is so accurate. When my daughter walked in the house one day, she said, Mommy, who's that man that talks and Auntie Atira says what he says? And the only people in the house were Atira, me, and my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So the child could hear that Atira was translating accurately from the angels. And
wow.
She gives the people tools to move forward during the reading. So people can read about the responses from her previous clients on my website and hers, angelscribe.com, and the readings are for 45 minutes.
Now, Mary Ellen, if somebody's never had a reading and they feel a little like, you know, kind of scared or kind of, I mean, what do you tell them? What do they really don't need to know or to do or say anything. They can just call and Atira will just take it from there, whatever comes through.
She's amazing. I've been at her place when her the accountant gives her the fees, and they'll be in envelopes upside down, and she'll take them, and because I book her appointments, I know people's names. And then she'll take an envelope, and she'll go, oh, I know this energy, all excited, right? She'll turn over and go, oh, I don't know that name. And we would have met them standing in lineup for like a James Van Prague event, and Atira does what she calls drive-by woo-woo. She'll lean over and put her hand on somebody and go, honey, have you lost somebody, or are you moving, or oh, my gosh, life's been a roller coaster. And then she'll give them this amazing blow-their-socks-off reading, but we won't exchange names. So then when the people contact me for a reading with Atira, they go, hi, you know, I'm Betty Jo, and she read for me at Adoring Virtue event. And I go, oh, yeah, I remember you. But Atira doesn't know the name, but in an upside-down envelope, she will. And the other funny thing is when she has the envelopes in her hands, she starts talking off into space again and arguing. She goes, no, not now. No, I know these are your people. No, you have to come back later. No, their appointment isn't for a week. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Getting this one side. But she's so loving and so compassionate. And if somebody has something in their past they don't want revealed, the angels will not tell Atira about it.
So, I was going to say, she's not going to tell anybody anything that's like bad or detrimental. She'll only give them positive, uplifting information that
exactly.
can help them on their path.
Yeah, exactly.
So they don't have to be afraid that they're going to hear something awful, because that's not what it's about. It's about empowering them.
Exactly. And that's how Atira is. You know, if the angels are going to come down and talk to you, Maureen, you know they're coming with a message of love. They're not going
right.
to come bringing a big fire alarm with a nasty message that's going to shake you off your path. They're going to gently hold you and put you on your path. And I was with Atira one day, and there was this, we were at a group gathering, and the next day we were at a restaurant, and everybody was standing around, and there's this one lady paying for her meal at a cash register, and she knew some of the ladies we were with, but she didn't interfere. She stood aside, and then Atira, standing right beside me, she turned to this woman, and she says something. I have no clue what she says. I couldn't hear her, even though I was right there. And the lady put her arms around Atira and literally collapsed on her, crying so deep in her soul you could see the tears go all the way down to her toes. And she said, thank you, thank you. And when the lady called me for an appointment several days later, she said, Atira saved her life. Now, when Atira doesn't never tell me what happens at anybody's readings, everything's very, very private and confidential. But when she got in the car, when we left the restaurant, I said, oh, my gosh, what did you say to that lady to relieve her of the burden she was carrying? And Atira said, Dom said, just take her heart energy and tweak it so it spins the other way and say, you do not have to carry this pain any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the lady was experiencing, but Atira just, you know, allowed her to release it and see clearly without the fear.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Being a tear, I know we're off our topic, but it doesn't matter. A tear is my favorite topic. Being her best friend's amazing. Like one night I woke up in the morning, it was like 1:30, and I thought, oh, why am I awake? And then I thought, I am so thirsty, I can't hardly stand it, but I was too tired to get up. And just then the phone rings, and a tear goes, Dom, apologetically, Dom said it's okay to call you. I'm like, it was. I was awake for some reason. She goes, he says you're dehydrated. You need to get up and get a drink of water. So she's a fun friend.
Oh, wow.
And she's good with pets, too. Whenever my cats are sick, she's very good.
And what's her show going to be next week? Is it?
I'm not sure.
But
it's going to be good if the tear is on it. Whether she's got a guest or not, she's fascinating. But, you know, there's the pet psychic, Dr. Agnes Thomas. She's
right.
a psychologist and animal communicator, and she's on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 4 o'clock mm-hmm. Pacific Standard Time, and her website is petstellthetruth.com. Now, she was the one who predicted I was going to get my miracle kitten, Miss Wings, you know,
mm-hmm.
the only surviving kitten out of 7 litters from the mother cat, and the kitten was born in Boston, and she had come through 5 months before she was born and told Agnes that I would be getting her. She'd be a female shaded silver Persian, and that I didn't have to look for her, that God would bring us together when it's meant to be. And she was a reincarnation of a previous cat. And my gosh, Maureen, you know the story. She was born in Boston. I live in Oregon. And a total stranger, Vivian Roseanne, whose sister read the Angel Scribe newsletters, paid $400, bought an airline ticket, and flew me that kitten. And the breeder gave her to me for free. So I'm going to be doing Dr. Agnes's show for her on May 22nd. And the guest is going to be herbalist Robert Newman. And this, if you have a cat, a dog, a horse, or a husband or a wife, this show is going to be fascinating because Robert Newman, I called him 4 weeks ago. I said, something's wrong with my cats. They're losing their fur, and they're not feeling good. They're very lethargic. And he told me how to change their diet. And it's so amazing. My cat's fur looks absolutely gorgeous. And they're so playful. They're on the counters. They're in the cupboards. They're running around the house. And they're awake all the time instead of sleeping. And their eyes are bright and sharp. So he's so good at helping us with our pet health and giving us hints and tips on their diet. Honest to goodness, it will change your pets. And also, it's a cheaper way to feed your cat, we found out.
Oh, yeah?
He's cut our bill for feeding our cats down by half.
Wow.
And his website's thevitalconnection.com.
And he's going to be on the May 22nd.
Mm-hmm. And I should do a commercial for my books. They're fabulous, of course. You know that.
Yes, they are. Expect miracles and a Christmas filled with miracles.
That's right. And each has 70 miracle truth stories in them that are captivating, uplifting, and inspiring. And some of them are from my biweekly newsletter, Angels. On angelscribe.com that people can join to for free. And also, Atira's got a newsletter now. They can find out about up-and-coming shows if they go to angelscribe.com.
Mm-hmm. And you'll, mm-hmm. So you'll personally autograph any books that they want to order from your website.
That's right, and they're $15 each, and they're beautiful. They look like gifts. It's amazing even how many men have them on their office desk.
And yeah, they're wonderful gifts.
Thank you. And I know a relative of mine just keeps it on the corner of her black piano just because she likes the contrast and color. And every time mm-hmm. she goes to the room, she just touches them. And I also mentioned I'd love to have a miracle true story column because I've got a home for thousands of miracles. And Atira actually predicts that this column will be as famous as Ann Landers one day.
Wow.
So wouldn't the reader love to be part of the magic of helping discover that?
And aren't you still, I mean, people still are sending you miracle stories and you're asking, how would they do that? I mean, they could call us tonight. The number, let's give it out again, 877-876-5227 if you want to call in just to share or to chat. But you're also still accepting them. They just email them to you at angelscribe.com.
Yeah.
Mary Ellen at.
That's correct. Mary Ellen at angelscribe.com. And let's give out your website too, Maureen.
Okay, angelwaves.net, and you can just email Maureen at angelwaves.net. Angel Waves isn't on regularly right now again, but we're hoping to have it on regularly soon, so you
You've
can just send me an email.
Little things in the pot we're stirring.
Yes. And I wanted to mention, too, if we can take a second here, Marilyn, I know I mentioned to you I had a wonderful experience in, Tucson and Sedona over the weekend. But I got to reconnect with Glenda Green, who wrote the book Love Without End. She's an incredible lady, and it's an incredible book. And she was just, you know, I want to say she's a normal person. She's an internationally known artist. But when, you know, she was painting a portrait of Jesus, and he started communicating with her, and it was like, she's like, you know, like, what, people are going to think I'm nuts. But anyway, it's the most incredible book. It's all about love. It's all we are. That's all we are is love. But she's going to be in the Dallas area coming up the first weekend in June. And if anyone is interested, they could go and, you know, just go to her website, lovewithoutend.com, and check that out. But I also discovered she's got these wonderful sacred oils that were divinely inspired that are incredible. And I know because I've been trying them since the weekend. And I've just seen these miraculous things happen. And I wanted to share that with you, Mary Ellen, and with our listeners, because they're incredible.
Is it like opening your aura up to accept?
Yeah, it does all of that. And the one is the exact smell that she sensed every time that Yeshua or Jesus came to communicate with her. There was this, like, this wonderful scent in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And her cat, Gunner, also could see him and sense him. Speaking of cats, and so she wanted to recreate it, and it was like 10 years in the making, and on the 10th anniversary of when she wrote the book, he came with her with the exact formula. And it's a blend of frankincense, which transcends all negativity, myrrh for healing a wounded heart, sandalwood for universality, sage for wisdom and purification. And it's just the most wonderful. And so I tried it because, you know, I have two teenagers now at home.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of friction there. And my older daughter is home temporarily, so she and one of the teenagers are always getting on each other's nerves. And I have to go and intercede. Well, last night, I put on the oil my husband and I are doing before we go to bed, and this peace and calm comes over. I went out in the middle of the most horrendous scuffle they were in, slamming doors and running out of the house and leaving at midnight, and I was so calm through the whole thing, and the whole situation calmed down and ended up okay. You know what I mean? It was like I'm thinking, this is incredible. This is totally incredible.
Listeners, a tip, too, because we've got tiled floors, much easier to take care of when you've got pets. And after I wash the floors with vinegar so it's safe for the cats, I put in one of those drops like what you're talking about into a clean bucket of water and then go through the house and do that. And the house smells so wonderful.
Yes.
And I'll use one that has joy combinations.
Yeah, joy's a good one.
And but that one you're using, that would be fabulous.
Yes.
You could wash the countertops with that in the kitchen.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. So you just put it in some water and take like a rag and wipe around? Is that what you're saying
exactly.
You do? Oh, yes, because you can use it as like, you know, put it on a little drop on a warm light bulb or whatever. That would be incredible to have it permeate the whole room or the house, because I said when I got these from Glenda, I said, now, can I sneak a drop on my son or something?
Well, I would wash his bathroom with it.
There you go.
Or say, hey, the countertops in your bedroom really look like they need some dusting.
He's like, that's right. But, I mean, it is amazing, and you can check it out. It's, you know, lovewithoutend.com. But I just thought, you know, there's just so many amazing things, and that's the point of this show and the folks at BBS. I mean, they're so wonderful to let everyone present all this, I mean, for free. It's just incredible,
right,
you know, what they're doing. So we want to thank them.
Yeah, I'd like to thank for BBS, too, because for bringing special enlightening programs to people's homes and offices and computers, because it used to be you'd miss half the shows if you were work, and now you can listen to them at work, too.
And they're also archived on the web.
Oh, that's,
I mean, on their site, so you can go listen anytime.
Mm-hmm. And it was like BBS radio creators had a vision, and they followed the lead, and I knew they went through some hard times, but now it looks like they're going to have some clear sailing, and they're making a difference in the world, and they're bringing us all together like we're family.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. So.
It's yes, it is.
We have and 10 minutes left. I just
how many minutes?
I have four.
Five?
Two, three?
Three? Yeah, we're waiting for the 3-minute warning.
Yes.
But well, what do you need to?
What I'd like to do is do a little commercial for Atira to be sure to listen to her next Thursday again at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And I just want to say, too, that I live in the Pacific Northwest. I must personally know about 125 psychics, and if somebody hasn't experienced one of her readings yet, I just want to say that if I have a question or I've lost something, I will call four of my best friends. Every single time, Atira is the only one that gets the answer where I find it where she says it is, even if I've looked in that spot for something or if it's something with my life, she's right every time. And she's also an approved Edgar Cayce Association ARE reader. So that's a distinction a lot of other people don't have.
Yeah, she's a wonderful lady, and she's in which book now is she in? Is she mentioned in? And is she mentioned in the Messengers or the subsequent book?
Days of Wonder, they did an entire chapter on Atira. And,
okay, that's by Gary Harden, G.W. Harden.
Yeah, and the website for
Wonder.
That is G.W. Harden, H-A-R-D.
I-N. I think it's I-N.
Yeah. .com.
Yeah.
And she's in five other books that I know of, and she's in two of mine with her loving kind stories. So, let's see. And circle your calendar for May 22nd. That's when I'm going to have Robert Newman on talking his health tips. But Maureen, I want to thank you so much. It was fun to get to know you. I know that your life is normal with hectic teens, and on the other hand, you've got angels working overtime. It was fun co-hosting with you tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for including me.
You're welcome. And I'd like to wish all the listeners a life filled with miracles. And as Atira's mother said, may be wrapped in the wings of angels as she tucked them into bed. Her mother had 55 foster children, and I think that's why Atira has that loving, kind energy. besides being an accurate clairvoyant. So, is there anything you'd like to say in the last minute, Maureen?
Just the most recent message I got from the angels about, you know, what they were trying to help everyone, or what our jobs are is to help everyone, is to help them, to help everyone, help us reclaim our divine birthright, to reclaim our skills for self, everything, is what they said. Because, you know, everything, the world, the universe is totally abundant. It's already there, and it's our divine birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're here to help everybody reclaim.
Well, thank you, and we just wrap our wings around everybody and give you a good hug and a good night, and if you're somewhere else, a good morning.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.